Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Radio WPHM, this is Our Savior Lutheran. Glad you have picked us up. Jeremy's playing our prelude. For those on radio with us, WPHM, or perhaps you pick us up later on our podcast, which is www.wphm.net. And you can access through internet, cell phone, whatever you have access to the internet, and pick up probably 6 or 7 weeks of the last worship services if you're ever absent on vacation or just want to hear them again. Okay? And also refer friends to it. If there's a topic of a friend, you know, that God's word might address, you can certainly reference our website. We welcome you this day as we gather to worship. We have survived another hot one. If you've heard that Wednesday, they reported that we now have exceeded the history of this state having over 90 degree days. So the rest is all, you know, just whip topping on top, because August is our hottest month. Get ready, button down. You came in to this sanctuary, for those of us in-house, and it's pretty pleasant outside, right? Good. And it was breezy. And you may say, why do we have air conditioning on? Let me answer that. I come in every Sunday when I'm serving, which is 51 weeks of the year. And you want to guess what the temperature was at 6:30 this morning in the sanctuary where you're sitting? Doug and I were teasing about it yesterday. It was 88 degrees and humid. Can we say humid? This sanctuary can retain heat incredibly, like an oven box. That's why 9 years ago, thanks to a bequest of Jim and Wanda Anderson, we were able to air condition this building. As I was teasing Doug to set my clock straight, his daughter Courtney was the first member wedding to take place in this sanctuary with air conditioning. So that was 9 years ago. So. Oh, I can't believe it. In Michigan, right? So the weather we deal with, life we have to deal with. The theme of the day is prayer. Special insert to your bulletin is one that we used to get through the Church History Institute for 15 years. And then after their publishing for 30 years, they guess they ran out of stories. So I save everything. So this is one I pulled out of the file because it talks about incredible prayers that have been answered in this country. I think it's most fitting, especially when the growing population doesn't believe in God, prayer, or the Christian faith. We speak a voice that gives testimony that this God of ours is alive. So our worship begins this day with our entrance hymn. Now, little story, brief. You know how the commercial world's been saying Christmas in July? I asked you for hymn sing. This is a hymn, Go Tell It on the Mount, which is a favorite of the choir that has many of them graduated, but we still sing because we love it, okay? If you'll please rise, Go Tell It on the Mount.
Go.
praise, for this day is majesty. We sing to God. If you'll join with me in a prayer for this day, page 4. Almighty and ever-living God, you're always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word. And Jane is our first lector.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In today's reading, Abraham undertakes the role of a mediator between God and sinful humanity. Appealing to God's justice, Abraham boldly asked for mercy for the city of Sodom for the sake of a few righteous people who are in it, including Abraham's nephew, Lot. Our first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. The reading begins. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jane. The psalm of the day is one of the three fashions we do it. It's spoken, and then there's a sung response. So ask Jeremy to play the music, and then we'll begin singing right after that. Psalm 138. Sing the portion to be sung. And so I thank you because of your constant love and faithfulness, because you have shown that your name and your commands are supreme. All the kings in the world will praise you, Lord, because they have heard your promises. They will sing about what you have done and about your great glory. And even though you are high above, you care for the lowly, and the proud cannot hide from you. And even though you are high above, you care for the lowly, am I repeating myself? I am. Sorry, I'm having vision problems this morning. When I am surrounded by troubles, you keep me safe. You oppose my angry enemies, and you save me by your power. You will do everything you have promised, Lord. Your love is eternal. Complete the work you have begun. Our second reading. Okay, you get the lecture. PD. From Colossians, second chapter, beginning with the second verse. If you remember last week, we began the portion talking about, which is unique to Colossians, Paul's letter. It will be a text that will speak about how Christ is the fullness of the divine. He's not just an understudy. He's not a philosopher. He's not just a great humanitarian. A benevolent figure. He is God, and in him the fullness is. Paul continues to the church. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it then that nobody's going to make you captive through their philosophy or empty deceit. according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come into fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and every authority. In him, Christ, also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. When he forgave us all of our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. Now he set this aside. He was nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities. He made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anybody condemn you in matters of food, drink, of observing festivals, new moons, or even the Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anybody disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement or worshiping of angels or dwelling of visions, puffed up with that cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you're able to stand, we sing the gospel acclamation. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words to the gospel reading for the day from the gospel for the year, Luke, is the introduction of the disciples asking, how do we pray? To which Jesus responds with these words. Luke, 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Now Jesus said to them, now suppose one of you had a friend. You were to go to your friend at midnight and say, friend, could you just loan me 3 loaves of bread? Now, for a friend of mine has arrived. I have nothing to feed him with to set before him. And he would answer from inside his door, even to a friend, don't bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I am not going to get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least he would because of his persistence. He will get up. He'll give him whatever his pesky neighbor wants. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door's going to be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who searches, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door's going to be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asked you for a fish, would you give them a snake instead of a fish? If a child should ask for an egg, would you as a parent give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, mercy, and peace be with us this day. For those on radio, WPHM, for those on the podcast, .net, we welcome you to the worship of our Savior, Port Huron, Michigan. Sermon outline, back inside cover, but as an introduction, like I did last week, just tell you a little bit about the other two lessons, because I'm going to focus in on the gospel. But the first reading, for my years of ministry and preaching, 45 years of preaching, I laugh when I hear this story. You got to understand, the people of faith in the Old Testament were not uptight Jews or Hebrews. They were very much down-to-earth people. And you don't see it any clearer than you do here with Abraham. I grew up with probably half of my friends in the city of Pittsburgh in my elementary and high school years who were Jewish. I had Gentile Lutheran friends and non-Lutheran friends, but I grew up with a Jewish community because I sought them out. I liked their difference. It was entertaining, but culturally enlightening. And I could just see so many of the Jewish pastors and parents doing exactly what Abraham does. How's that? It's a prayer, right? It's a conversational prayer. Abraham to God. Who dare challenge God? Only a Hebrew. Stands before the Lord. Lord says, I made a decree and a judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going down. Right now. And Abraham says, let me intercede for them. How about if I find 50 righteous? Then you see the barter, right? The game of bartering with God. Have you ever done that? We're told that in grieving and a lot of changes in life, bargaining is a human characteristic. Definitely, Abraham doesn't. If it's not 50, Lord, just in case, you know, I'm not there. I don't know if there's 50. I know my nephew's there, but I'm not sure. Hey, would you give me a break and say 45? Oh, okay. You're cracking me, but I'll give you 45. Well, Lord, you know, there might be a few out of town on the census. How about 40? Okay, I see where this is going. Go ahead, Abraham. Well, there might not be 40. How about 30? Okay, how far are you going on this, Abraham? Well, how about 20? How about 10? You're pushing me, but if you can find 10, out of my graceful, merciful heart, I will spare. Abraham couldn't do it. But God was willing to do it. Teaches two things about prayer. God's more gracious and merciful than we imagine. And it also shows the humanity of all God's people when they stand before their God. We're flesh and blood. We're flawed. We're sinners. Abraham was a sinner too. And he had a special favored position with the Lord, so he could get away with this. I think most people grow up with a sense of religion that God will zap you if you dare stand and face your God and challenge him. I learned back in the seminary after studying the 150 Psalms, if you ever study them, not just read them, not just sing them, study them, that the people of Israel got angry at God, shouted at God, condemned God, and were most irritated with God. And then at the end of the psalm, they would say, and yet still, I will trust you, Lord. That's the appropriate response. I'm sorry for what I said, but this is how I feel. Lord, I'm still going to trust you on this journey of life. Okay. That aside, let's go to the gospel text. during the theme over at Grace Episcopal, which is gathering for worship at 10 o'clock, and our people are there, have been part of the arts camp. This week was a glorious week. I'll say a little bit more later, but each day I was asked to do the opening prayer after a few things took place before the youth went to their activity zones. I chose, because the topic was prayer and praise, and Pastor, would you lead the prayer? So I took all five kids, and I thanked the adults, because they didn't know it either, to talk about different ways we can pray to God. Let's see how you do on this checklist. You ready? Number one, Monday. I asked them to pray just the way they would, and I would lead the prayer. Okay, nothing eventful. Day two, I asked them to pray like Moses did. Do you know the Old Testament says when Moses would address God, this is even with a torn rotor cuff, they would raise both arms up to heaven. It's recorded in Scripture, sometimes Moses' arms were up for 10, 15, 20 hours. I'm good for 2 minutes. And sometimes people came under his arms to keep him sustained up because of the tremors and shaking of the muscles. Okay. Why did Moses pray that way? Because when he prayed, he was opening himself up to the heavens to God, both to transmit and to receive. Did you know that? That is one position of prayer. If you can do it with your arms, it changes how you pray. Believe me, your attitude will be affected. Next day, let's see. Day three. Oh, Henry Naumann, a Roman Catholic theologian, wrote a neat book on devotions. His book was called With Open Hands. I don't know if you've ever read Henry's devotional stuff. The book title tells you, he says, you know, a lot of people when they pray, they clench their fists because they're tight against God and they don't want God to intrude, but they want to tell God what they want. Henry Naumann says, we humans have to discover that we must open our hands to transmit to God and to receive from God. This is a listening, active, speaking response to God. Okay? Open hands. Not closed off to God, but with an open heart, mind, and spirit, and hands to communicate. Day four. Oh, I did the Lord's Prayer, just like today. Okay, this is the way we did it at camp. And sometimes we'll do it here, and that is we whisper it. Our Father, who art in heaven. But getting gradually louder, so by the doxology, the last part, we're shouting. The children loved it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a way to reframe the Lord's Prayer. It puts the emphasis on God, not what we want, as it should be rightly placed. Now the last day, day five, see if you've ever practiced this technique. It's where the Lord speaks to the prophet in the Old Testament. He says, be still and know that I am God. Okay? That technique, I asked the youth, I said, I'm timing this. You have 30 seconds of silence. I want you and I to be still, not talk, before our God. And listen to what God may be saying to you. Because God's real. And God does talk to us. It's just that, like the one country western song of decades ago, turn your radio on. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. So, kids did very well. And if you were with us or saw us at the prayer vigil for Orlando about a month or so ago, I was in charge of the prayer for the community, and I gave them 3 minutes of silence. Because, you know, Lutherans, Episcopalians, all of us are awkward with silence. It's like, did the pastor lose his place? You even have to tell people you're going to be silent. So, you and I need to be quiet before God, and that's prayer. Because as the New Testament gives witness to, even when you don't know what to say, how to formulate your words, communicate them to God, God knows what you need. That's how smart God is. So, be still. And know, God is there for you. Technique in prayer. Okay, of the 5 ways I listed, how many of you do all 5? Raise your hands. How many of you do 4? Okay, I feel like Abraham. 3. 2. Lord, give us 2. Okay. I won't look. 1. Okay, and it's between you and God if you don't pray. To pray is a gift. Studies have shown there are 3 significant emotional needs in any significant relationship: marriage, family, and friends. Okay, here's what they are. Number 1 is we want to express how we feel. We want somebody to understand us. How many of you agree with that? You want other people to know what you're thinking and how you're feeling. Okay, we all do. Number 2, in the course of life, we also have a desire in which we want to be able to communicate without being interrupted, criticized, right? And we want to be able to be understood at a deepest level. I call that in premarital level 4. That's depth communication, where nobody challenges me. I just get to say my piece. It's that reality that we need. And so too, in a significant relationship, we want acceptance, do we not? We don't want criticism when we're opening up ourselves. We want to be heard and understood and not criticized. How many of you have that need? Okay, some of you are rocks, huh? And then there's the reality that in the course of things, we just simply, in our relationships and communications of a significant nature, we're in a position to be able, if we have done or said something, we can be forgiven and not brought up the past. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Ladies, I hate to report the statistics. I hear more complaints from men that their wives don't let go of the past. No, not. I'm supposed to say my wife doesn't do that. Did I say that right, Cheryl? Okay. Reality is, my experience with men, and men will confirm it with me, and men don't keep track, score, or records. Right, men? Women, and I've used a chancel drama in worship. It's called 491. It's where the wife's hassling her husband. She met the quota of 7 times 70, which is 490. And now her husband did it the 491th time, and she lets him get it with both barrels. It's the cutest story. I didn't write it. It's just the truth. Reality is, some people have a personality type. They can remember date, time, and how many times you didn't do it right. Other people, I like to say, guys are really clueless. We don't think about it. It's not on our radar. That doesn't mean you're not going to find guys who do it. It doesn't mean all women do it. I fully understand it. But please understand, the human condition in significant relationships wants that freedom. to be able to be forgiven and to forgive the other person. Or else a significant relationship cannot long endure, right? Cannot last. With that in mind, let's talk about what Jesus says. With the question, the disciples say, teach us, Lord, to pray aright. What is it to pray aright? It is to communicate in ways not only our good psychology, but the best way to pray. It's not in body posture, standing, folded hands, closed eyes, like many of us were taught in Sunday school. It is rather a condition of heart. Heart. How do you teach that? Boy, I tried. Because it's individually controlled. I don't know what makes some people thankful and some people stubborn. I don't know why some people find fault with God and everybody, and some people just roll with the punches. I just know it happens. To be of right heart is to be open and not complaining to God and lecturing God how you could have run the universe better. Because that's a lie. Otherwise, we'll stand before God like Job. You remember the examination the Lord gave Job? Who are you, son of man, to find fault with my creation and why things happen in this world? Were you there when I was giving birth to a whole universe, the whole cosmos? Did I ask you for advice? Did you render me your wisdom? No, Job, you're not God. The answer to the mystery of evil is an unanswered question in the book of Job. It is, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and we don't know why. That's the answer. And the Hebrews understood that. That's why they kept the book in the Bible. There is no simple answer for what happens. We know we live in a fallen, sin-filled world. And that's undeniable. Just look around at what this world and people are doing to people. Week by week, month by month, and year by year. Not just within America, but around the world. Okay? So, a prayerful attitude is an attitude that enters into right spirit with God. Unknown kind of, spiritual reality. How do you put it into words? But it's getting your heart and your mind in touch with who's running the show. You or God. Then there's also the attitude of praying to God, which includes a perspective. Notice how the prayer begins, Our Father. The disciples wanted an answer, a quickie fix. How do I pray to get more from God? Okay? Isn't that the human search? I want life on my terms. I want everything done my way. God starts it correctly, as it's identified by Luther's small catechism as the introduction. Our Father, who art in heaven. Luther, in the explanation in the small catechism, which we'll be doing several studies in the next 14 months because of its anniversary, the small catechism, 500 years old. Luther goes on to explain, when we say our Father who art in heaven, we're laying the cards on the table who God is and how we approach God. He is our Father, not my Father. He connects us together as family, our Father. We are not individual Christians. We're part of a community of faith. New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, the body of Christ. My Father is not appropriate. Our Father is most appropriate. And in the context of things, there's a sense of flexibility in prayer. Abraham certainly displayed it, a little too far gone. But God could roll with the punches of Abraham's dickering him down. Flexibility on your part and my part is to open ourselves with open hands, open arms, and say, Lord, okay, I'm not coming with a fixed agenda. I know with each of my strokes, in my conversation with God, it has never been demanding. It has always been humbling. I am a broken person. I am mortal. How dare I stand before my God and speak to even him? I am not worthy to even carry, or like John the Baptist says, even to wash his feet. But here he gives me the privilege to call on his name. He wants me to be flexible. He wants me to roll with the punches. He wants me to be patient. Oh, Don Dorsbacher was not patient this week. Everything went bad, from car to all kinds of things went bad. You probably had the same week. This heat, it wasn't heat. It was just lack of patience on my part. And I kept saying, Lord, you don't have to try me. I know I fail. Can we just stop it? I know God's not trying me. I'm not that immature. But I can laugh with God. I have freedom in Jesus Christ to be me. Not some sacred pastor who has to carry a line. His parishioners are watching his language wherever he goes. Give me a break. I'm a Christian who's fallen, who's in need of a redeemer, and never forgets that day by day. And it's that reality of flexibility and patience that allows us to really get things in perspective. Who's running the show? Who God is? He's our Father. And he deserves my respect, because he's in heaven. I'm down here, somewhere lost in this cosmos of billions and trillions and quadrillion of planets. And for some reason, he has found favor on planet Earth, and with a people in the history of the Hebrew, to reveal ultimately his son, Jesus Christ, to the nations. I can't take one bit of claim or credit for that. It's truly the work of God. The bottom part, which kind of bookends what I'm saying, is it takes trust. We're told that by age 5, most of the scripts in our life have been pretty well set. That means before you had language skills, you were picking up messages from significant adults, by friends, by peers, by family members, by the community at large, who were telling you things about your self-esteem, who you are, person of worth or value. Can you trust me? Can you not trust me? Will you be there when I cry? Will you change my pants? Will you give me food? All those things are learned and acquired before kindergarten. Okay? What's that mean? Means we have a whole life to try to correct those messages. All the garbage that we were given. If you grew up finding that adults and other youth, peers, whatever, could not be trusted, they let your secrets go to other people. Any of you ever have friends betray you? I don't see any hands, so. So you know what that's like, right? And you understand you can't talk to everybody because they'll broadcast it everywhere, right? We learn that early in life. So by the time we're adults, we're guarded, uptight adults. Likewise, if parents were, author in the 70s wrote a book called Your Poisonous Parents. Good title. Because in some family systems, perhaps not yours, some parents gave their kids terrible messages that their tongue probably should have been pulled out and scarred, because they should have never said it to a child. Those are the poison parents. And they gave us bad messages. And they told us we weren't worth anything, we were an accident, and we shouldn't even be here, you're such a pain to me. You're an inconvenience. Yeah, there are too many parents like that. And so we learn to isolate ourselves from people in significant relationships. So in our adult years or married years, we have a hard time opening up because people weren't available to us as youth. We've got to find a bridge as an adult to make it happen. no matter what the scars were, no matter how we were taught, God has a different opinion of you. God's opinion of you and I is that we are great. Yeah, we got our problems. We're sinners. But we are loved. And God teaches us, not only are you loved, but I'm watching you and I'm going to look out for you. That's more than what most parents do, right? Or there are the other scheme where they're overprotective and they smother the child. Believe me, God doesn't smother us. He lets us act in free will. Then there's the reality that God, besides loving you and watches out for you, he cares for you. Isn't that a tender word? You will not see that word in the book of Quran. That Allah cares for his people. It's stricken from their language. The God of Israel, the God of Jesus Christ, is a God who cares. There's a striking contrast. You can't play dumb just because it's politically expedient. Likewise, it's a God whom you can trust. The God of the book of Quran is a God who you got to fear. You got to do your duty. That's what Muslim means, duty. It does not say love, forgiveness, grace. So when I listen to politicians say we're all the same, I say, you're really dumb, aren't you? You're really uninformed, and you're catering to the public and not speaking truth. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. The point is, you're not talking the truth. The truth is the God we know in Jesus Christ, who enters, invites us into a relationship of communication because he loves us, he cares for us, and he wants us to trust him. I hope in your life, my life, we never plateau or stale or become passive in our prayers. Prayer, Paul says, pray constantly. That doesn't mean walking around, walking into telephone poles like people on cell phones. It does mean an attitude where you are in direct line to God 24/7. And I hope you can discover what that means. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us. Remain with us always. Amen. Our worship continues as we sing our hymn of the day as requested, What a Fellowship, while we lean on his everlasting arms.
Thank you.
We receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. As we do that, in your pew, my wife and I personally put in flyer, a sheet. If you would, at this time, pass it down your pew from center aisle so that each of you may have a copy. Thank you. So you know what I'm going to speak about. We are 9 days away from the 5th National Night Out for Old Town Port Huron. Okay? We have participated, we are Savior, for 3 of those 5 years. National Night Out was suggested, I think, by law enforcement to get people out of their homes, especially in the summer, when the weather permits, and get to know your neighbor. Well, 3 weeks ago, the gospel text was, the lawyer comes up to Jesus, what am I supposed to do? He says, I have done everything. I have loved my neighbor as myself. And Jesus says, but who's your neighbor? To which then he spun the tale of the Good Samaritan. Make no doubt, God says our neighbor is not the familiar as much as it is the stranger. Okay? That's the whole point of the parable. He wasn't of the same faith. He wasn't Jewish. He showed God love to a stranger. Okay? This is what this means about loving your neighbor. So we, as you know, are getting more actively involved in the history of this congregation with hands-on ministry to our community. So for our 3rd year, we're at Neighborhood Night Out. On there, I have given you specific details. When and where? Tuesday, August 2nd, 5:30 to 8 o'clock, if you're coming just to attend. So anybody on the radio or podcast, you are welcome because this is an open invitation. And for your information, last year we had 600 people come out. That was the greatest attendance in year 4. We believe with more church participation and activity, we will top that number. Unless the weather's terrible. But it should work. Because as more congregations get actively involved in their community, we will make a mark and a difference. That's all Christ wants. So that will take place on the 2nd. And here's how we, as our Savior, would participate. We have been asked in cooperation. We've had 3 planning sessions, of which I myself and Faith as Director of Family Life have dialogued with 10 of the churches in this community downtown. We will be responsible for certain things. We are for face painters. Now that means if you can draw a picture and somebody else can color it on some child's face, we need you. We need approximately 6 to 7 painters to keep the line moving for children, okay? You don't have to be a cosmetologist to do this. Kids just want a smiley face and a rainbow. So if you can help, we need you. We need approximately 5-7 people to just basically help me. Last year we changed the game for them. I felt creative because we weren't getting traffic to our booth. So I invented a game not to throw darts or something at a balloon full of painted water. I started throwing painted water at somebody in the front. Oh, did we draw a crowd? We use sponges. So we're back this year throwing sponge balls at people who wish to be thrown sponge balls of water with light water-safe paint. Okay. So we need 5-7 people to manage the kids. That's all. I would encourage you to dress in casual clothes, even though it's washable. So, we are responsible for drinks. Last year, we went through 20 gallons of fluid. This year, we're getting ready for 30 to 40 gallons. I will be responsible for producing over 20 to 30 gallons of punch, sugar-free drink. So I need somebody to make it here at the church, take the containers over to First Congregational, which is the location. I bought the drinks. There's nothing for you to drink. It's just make the drink. And then I sit down and take it over before 5 p.m. on that Tuesday. I also need just general walkthrough, four people to just walk the floor. Because if 7 to 10 churches have volunteers to walk at approximately 5 apiece, we're covering the grounds for order, safety, and protection. Okay? So is all we need. I need also somebody to load up my VHS tapes in the hallway, because nothing goes without good recycling. So I told the group I would donate this for us to give to the children of the neighborhood. And they all agreed it's more probable the parents will have VHSs than they had DVD players. I agree. The population and the poverty. Okay? So I need somebody to load that up and just cart it over to First Congregation on Tuesday morning afternoon, and we'll handle it there when we're at the church. I do not know that any of these are extremely cumbersome, just require people to make it happen. If you're interested and can give a first, second choice, that's what the second side is about. Put your name and what it is you would like to do. Put it in the offering plate either today or next Sunday. Send it to us, snail mail, email it to me, send it to a text, all kinds of ways in today's world, or Facebook us. Just get the word to us so we can do adequate planning to make this a more successful event than last year. Many other things in your bulletin. I hope you got your newsletter. If not, we have them at both positions. Pick one up today. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. Please rise.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hands in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Rooted in Christ and rising to serve, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Faithful God, through diverse cultures and countries, your Spirit weaves us together as one church. Help us all, your disciples, to ask for the things we need, confident that you hear us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Call us to notice places and people you created, but we often forget. For busy places, for those working in the noon heat, in the silence of the night, and in care of your creation. Hear us, O God. Bring peace where strife is found, where homes have become battlegrounds. Empower leaders and organizations to find solutions through persistence and faith. Hear us, O God. Turn our hearts to the cries of those in great need. Comfort and heal those who feel defined by situation, grief, or sickness. We remember in our prayers today, Roger Taylor, Heather Bryson, Trish Lanscott, Dave Turner, John Povlez, Mike Forbes, Carol Weaver, Andrew Marino, Jim Fisher, Marty Lepak, and Joe Mazur. We remember and pray for our homebound, Etta Rep, Zelma Sherrard, Sly Langoff, and Helen Veach. We ask that you would comfort the families of Chris McRae's mother with her passing, and the families of Ina Hooven with her passing. Lord, we ask that you would be with the men and women serving our country, especially those serving our country overseas. Return them home safely to their family, friends, and loved ones. Lord, we ask that you would be with police officers all across our nation. Protect them as they protect us. Hear us, O God. Seek after us wherever we are found in these summer months. Grant safety to those who travel, Sabbath rest to those who vacation, and perseverance to those who have no leisure time. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Join our prayers with those ancestors and saints who taught us to pray. We remember those who have died in faith with the comfort that your steadfast love endures forever. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting your promise to hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Gathered into one by his Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace as well as with favor. And the Lord look upon you with all of his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Closing hymn as requested by members. This sounds good, doesn't it? Shall we gather at the river? We sing.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.